1 John, chapter number 3. Head toward Revelation and stop about 4 or 5 books before that, and you'll be close. 1 John, chapter number 3, verse 1, 2, and 3. Let's pray together while you're finding your way there. Lord, we thank you again for the privilege to be here tonight. Thank you for all of your blessings and your provisions for us. Thank you for the Word of God that we have to read and to study tonight. We ask that you would bless us through it, strengthen us, guide us and lead us and encourage us tonight by who we are and who you say that we are. May you be glorified in your making us who we are. And may we rejoice in you and you alone. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you for it in Christ's name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Everybody in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, 2, and 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed, hath given unto us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he, Christ, is pure. And that's God's word, and all God's people said, amen. I mentioned last week about all the people that were identifying as other things. And it seems to me we're having an identity crisis in America. Many do not feel satisfied with who they are, so they identify as something else. Of course, they're making these changes according to their own feelings and their own ideas, identifying as something they're not. Males that identify as females are not females. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Females that identify as males are not males. Amen. They try to identify as something they are not. They change their identity as if they had the authority to change their identity, which they don't. Men identifying as women, women identifying as men, men and women identifying as some animal. It is confusing, and I think they are confused about who they really are. And it doesn't matter who humanity identifies as, they cannot change who they are by changing the vocabulary. Say amen. They are born with certain DNA and physical characteristics that make them who they are. Some men identify as women and they can't even define what a woman is. How are you going to identify as a woman if you can't define what a woman is? Because if you truly define what a woman is, it would indicate you're not a woman. So instead of getting lost in the weeds of the craziness and the confusion of our culture, I want to emphasize the authority of Christ, and I want to emphasize the surety of what God says his people are. Because at the end of the day, who God says we are is what is really important. Amen? So last week we looked at 2 Corinthians 5:17, saw that God says that we, his people, are new creations in Christ. He said it this way, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That is one thing God says we are. Who are we? We are new creatures in Christ. The old things are passed away and all things are become new. So there is this new identity that we have in Christ, a new direction and new desires and new priorities and new pursuits, a new name, a new city, a new standing, a new power, a new hope, a new destiny, all in Christ. And I don't want any of us to be unsure of who we are in Christ or confused about who we are in Christ. We are who God says we are, and there is no argument about that. Tonight, I want us to look at this text in 1 John, and we're going to look at this truth that we are not only new creations in Christ, but we are the sons or we are the children of God. I want to flesh that out in this text by sharing with you three thoughts or three things that I want you to meditate and concentrate upon. Number one is what we were previously. What we were previously. Now you'll notice that John says that we are now. Now we are the sons of God. So if you're saved, if you have by faith trusted in Jesus Christ, repented of your sins, you are in Christ, believing that He is the Son of God, you are right now a child of God. But we have not always been the sons of God. We've not always been the children of God in a practical sense. In the godly sense, we have. But in a practical sense, we have not always been the sons or the children of God. What were we before we became children of God through salvation? That's the question. There is an idea in modern day Christianity that you can simply add Jesus on to your life and you can continue living the way that you have previously been living. Just add, Christ becomes an add-on to whatever you have going on. And I would remind you that kind of faith is a false faith. That kind of faith will not save you. It is not that we're going in a certain direction and we somehow acknowledge the truth that Jesus died on the cross and we continue going in that same direction and we're saved. That's just not biblical truth. Keep doing the same things, the same ways, with the same friends, going the same places, enjoying the same things. That somehow has been pressed upon people by religious people that is some sort of biblical Christianity, and it's not. That's why so many people are confused whether they belong to Christ or not. If you are in Christ now, you have a clear recollection, or you should recall, that there is what we once were. And to help us remember what we once were, let me share with you a quote from the Apostle Paul, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Paul says, "And you hath he quickened," or made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." So if we are here tonight, saved by the grace of God, called the children of God, there was a time when we were not that. In fact, instead of being the children of God, we were, Paul says, the children of disobedience and we were the children of wrath. That's what we were before God saved us. Not the children of God, but the children of disobedience and the children of wrath. And Paul says all of us, every single one of us, walked in that way. All of us talked like that. All of us had no conscience about spiritual things. We were by nature sinners, children of disobedience, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. By nature, the children of wrath, even as those who are outside the church. That's what we were. That's what I was. And that's what you were. Not children of God, but children of disobedience, children of wrath, children of the devil is what we were. We were lost. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were hopeless. We were sinners. We walked like the world. We acted like the devil, controlled by the spirit of disobedience. We talked like the world. We acted like the world. We were the world. Separated, alien, enemies of God. That's what we were. We were people that hated God, hated the things of God. Say amen. Verse 4, Ephesians chapter 1. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. So everyone is not okay. Say amen. You once were not okay. We can sing "All Is Well With Our Soul" tonight, but there was a time when we could not sing that. You, as well as I, were once aliens, far away, outsiders, and we marched to the drumbeat of disobedience to God. And it is the work of Christ that has brought us into the family of God. It is not us straightening up or getting better or trying harder. It is the work of Christ that has put us into the family of God. It is his righteousness and his death on the cross. It is his taking our sins, receiving our wrath, that has made the difference that is in our lives as believers. So how can we know we've changed if we don't know where we once were? This change comes about because of the great love that God has for us. And this love that God has for us has activated the riches of his mercy, has made us spiritually alive, who once were dead, and now we are alive in Christ. Have you ever gone to Home Depot? This is my little pet peeve. Have you ever gone to Home Depot looking for a straight 2x4? What an adventure that is. They have plenty of 2x4s, but I'm looking for a straight one. Those are a rare thing, a straight 2x4. And you have to go through almost the entire pile to find 2 or 3 straight 2x4s. That's not how God fills his kingdom. God doesn't look through the pile of humanity trying to find the straightest ones. It's not how he does it. It is by his grace. What does that mean? It means that through his mercy, grounded in his love, the Savior takes the crooked ones and chooses them. He doesn't look for the good ones. He doesn't look for the ones who are trying hard. He doesn't look for the ones who are making the effort. He looks for those who are crooked, and by his grace, he saves them. So do not forget what you were. And do not forget the grace and the mercy and the love of God that has saved you and made you a child of God. It is Amazing grace, John Newton said, that saves wretches like us. And the joy of sight is fully enjoyed by those who were once blind. The joy of freedom is fully enjoyed by those who once were in bondage. And the joy of life is fully enjoyed by those who once understand they were dead. So do not forget what you were previously before God saved you. Say amen. So who you were previously, number two, who you are presently. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. Now, do not get sidetracked by the idea that we are called the sons of God, because he says in verse 2 that now we are the sons of God. So this is not simply a descriptive title. It is a statement of fact. The idea of being called the children of God is that we are who the name implies that we are. The reality is we are the children, the sons of God. We are the children of God, and we are His children right now, presently. I don't have to wait to be a child of God. I am a child of God if I am saved by the grace of God. Say amen. So God doesn't give us a promise in which he will fulfill in the future. No, he gives us a fact that we already are God's children, and we right now enjoy all the rights and all the privileges that our adoption into God's family offers, because we have come to know God as our Father. And God is a lot of things, isn't he? All of them are good, but he is first and foremost the Father to his people. How do you pray? Our Father. When we come to know God, we come to know Him as our Father, because we are His children. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 8, 14 through 16. For as many are as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, our sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So if you're led by the Spirit of God, indwelt by the Spirit of God, you are the children of God. Not that we might be the children of God, not that we hope to be the children of God, not that we long to be if we could just do more to become the children of God. No, we are in Christ right now the children of God. We are the children of God tonight. Not because of what we have done, not because of what we continue to do, but because of what Christ has done and what Christ continues to do. We are the children of God. And the sonship of God, being a child of God, is something that we ought to rejoice in. We ought to joy in the fact that we are the children of God. There's nothing greater. There's nothing more spectacular. There's nothing more wonderful than to be a child of God. He has bestowed His love upon us. He has given us His love so that we can be called the sons of God. I was thinking the other day, this is not sonship, this is grandsonship. I'm not sure that's in the Bible, but this is grandsonship. That old boy sitting on that back, well, he's not sitting, he's running around now. He's about to get in trouble probably. I love that little boy with all my heart. I can't even explain to you how much I love him. Does he love me? I don't know. I don't even know that he understands what love is. Right? So this is not the son loving the father or the grandson loving the grandfather. This is the father and the grandfather loving the son. Who has bestowed their love upon us? The Father. And he loves us and he calls us and makes us his children. Say amen. And even when we're not even aware of what love truly is, we are loved and we are made the children of God. Amen? And John says here that the world doesn't grasp this reality. The world doesn't know this. The world doesn't behold this truth. And we should. We should rejoice and joy in the truth that we are the children of God, not act like the world who doesn't grasp this reality, that doesn't behold this truth. The world doesn't know you, John says. The world doesn't rejoice in you. The world doesn't celebrate with you. The world makes no fuss over your salvation. In fact, the world hates you. It does not love you. The world does not know you because why? It doesn't know God. You know God. You know he loves you and know that he has done all that is necessary to make you his children in the death and the life of Jesus Christ. The world can never understand that, and the world can never truly know you because it doesn't know God. The world thinks what we're doing tonight is foolishness. It doesn't understand. It doesn't grasp the reality of this, but we should. The children of God should grasp the wonderfulness of being a child of God. And the world may not acknowledge you, and you may not feel like a child of God from time to time, but the fact is, if you have believed in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, God the Father, in his love for you, has sent his Son to go to the cross in your place and save you, and by that sacrifice of Christ, you are now a child of God. Unbelievers can't understand that. They can't understand us because they don't know God. They'll ask you, why do you go to church on Sunday night? Why do you go to church on Wednesday night? They don't understand. You know why they don't understand? Because they don't know God. They don't understand the sonship or being the child of God. And they will never know the significance of our spiritual relationship with the Father. Never. But by rejecting us, that does offer some confirmation of our relationship with God. Say amen. The world simply doesn't understand. We are now not what we once were. We are now the sons of God. Amen? If you are the children of God right now, then you should enjoy the benefits of sonship right now. There is a level of assurance that we should have by the fact that we are the children of God. Here's the example. Justin and Kelsey are no less my children by the distance that is between us. If Kelsey and Justin are walking with me hand in hand, they are my children. But if Kelsey is in Liberty and Justin is in Easley, they're still my children. Say amen. There is a certain amount of assurance that we should get by the fact that we understand we are the children of God. That's who I am. And I can't not ever be not the child of God. No matter how much distance may come between us. If you are the sons of God, now you're not what you used to be. And that difference is made in you by the work of Christ, procured by the gifts of repentance and faith. And we should rest assured that we have spiritual life and we are the children of God. And we are the children of God because God says we are his children. You might look at me and say, you don't look like a child of God. It doesn't matter what you say. It's what God says. I am who God says I am. And he says, I am a child of God in Christ. That's who we are. And being saved is knowing God as Father. You can't know Him. You can't know God as Father if you're not His child. There's only one person that Justin and Kelsey can truly call their dad. Me. And I can't call God Father if I'm not His son, His child. Say amen. Number three. Not only do we see here who we were previously and who we are presently, but I want to offer this to you tonight too. I want you to see who we are perpetually. Verse 2. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. So here's how I put this. What we once were is not what we are now. And what we are now is not exactly what we will be. Are you with me? What were we? Lost, undone sinners, without hope, without Christ. What are we now? We are in Christ. We are the children of God. But we are going to be something different in the future. In making us His children, God has simply begun a marvelous work in us, which in time, in the future, He will bring to a completion. And we're not sure exactly what that will be. Isn't that what John says? It doth not yet appear that we have not seen the revelation of what exactly we shall be in glory. But being the sons of God now, in the present, makes this future reality true. I may not know what exactly it is, but I know that I'm going to experience it and be a part of it because I'm a son of God now. We don't know exactly what it will be. But what we do know is that when Jesus appears, and He's going to appear, when He comes back, we shall be like Him. Because we will see Him as He really is. Now, do not make a mistake here. This does not mean in eternity we will ever be equal with Him. We won't. But we will be like Him in His immortality. It is being made the children of God in this life that gives us the privilege of being like Him when we see Him when He returns. It will be those who are His sons now that will see Him and ultimately be like Him. That's not an open-ended thing for everyone. It is those who are His sons that will one day see Him and be like Him. So God has done that work in us now with future privileges. And what will we be then? I don't know. But it seems to me it will be more glorious than we can even imagine. It seems to me that it is beyond human vocabulary to describe. But you, the sons of God, you, the sons of God, will see Him and you will be made like Him. What a wonderful reality that is. Amen. What a glorious promise that is. As good as it is for us to sit here tonight knowing that we are the children of God, as good as that is, there's coming a day when it's going to get even gooder. It's going to get better because He's coming back and we're going to see Him, and we're going to be made like Him. That's even more glorious than what we have here on this earth in being made the sons of God. Look at verse 3, and then I'm finished. And every man that hath this hope, what hope? What hope? That we are going to see Him and be made like Him. Every man that has this hope that he is a son of God through salvation, through the work of Christ, everyone that has this hope that as a child of God, he is going to see God and going to be made like God. Every man that hath that hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Do you see that? Do you see that what we believe about the future, what we think the future holds, influences how we live today? For those children of God, we have this hope of seeing Him, being made like Him in the future, that will cause us to desire to be like Him now. Do you see that? My assurance that I will see Him, be made like Him when He returns is so glorious that my desire today is to be more like Him now while I'm here on this earth. We live in this hope of becoming more and more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And the more we contemplate this truth, the more we think about this truth, the more we are purified of our sin. We seek to cleanse ourselves from sin. We seek to remove the contaminations that sin causes in our body and our soul. We constantly are striving for holiness in reverence to God here while we wait for there. And don't misunderstand me. John uses language here not simply to encourage us to purify ourselves now, but he uses language to describe what the work of the Spirit is doing in the believer in conforming us into the image of Christ now. It's not what you should be doing or trying to do. It's what the Spirit of God is doing in you as we wait for Christ to come, in which we will see Him and be made like Him. And can I say this? Those who have no interest in being like Jesus now on this earth also have no interest in seeing Him or being made like Him in the future. Amen. Say amen. Your future must be qualified according to your present. If you're not a child of God here, there's no hope that you will be made like Him there. Say amen. But if you are a child now, there is every certainty that you will receive the blessedness of God when He returns. You will see Him and you will be made like Him. How do I know that? Because the Bible says, He who hath begun a good work in me will what? Will finish it. It will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Do you know that God doesn't ever have half-baked chicken? He makes sure everything's baked perfectly. What He begins, He finishes it. He completes it at the day of Christ. And as the children of God, you need to know what you were previously. You need to know what you are presently. And you need to know what you will be perpetually in the presence of God. We are who God says we are. What am I? I'm a new creature in Christ. And I am a child of the King. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You again for Your word. It is good, it is rich, it is wonderful. And we're grateful for the recording of it and the preservation of it. And tonight, Your help in us receiving it and understanding it. And help us to rejoice in the fact of who we are, so that there's no confusion, there's no identity crisis in who we are spiritually. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus, born again, regenerated by the power of the Spirit in Christ. And we are bestowed by the love of God toward us. We are the sons or the children of God. And we are that currently. So help us not forget what we were. Help us to rejoice in who we are. And help us to anticipate eagerly what and who we will be. All by the work of Christ in and for us. And we rejoice in that truth and we glorify God for it. In Jesus' name and for Christ's sake we pray. Amen.